Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 477, Building an Ark. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, June 21st, 2026, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
In cell groups, we've been studying Hebrews. Who's enjoying the study of Hebrews? Praise the Lord. The Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. That just jumped into my head. But it is instruction for us, and it brings life to us. And so our cell groups, it's part of our vision of making disciples to, we have roots in the Word of God. And so that's why it's not just a Bible study, but our cell groups, we come around the Word of God and we share and we discuss around that. We build relationships. We pray for one another. We share. It's just really a rich time. So we say we place roots in the Word, roots in Jesus, and roots in the church. That's community together. And so that's what we do here. So if you haven't been a part of the a cell group, join one. There's the times and the information is on the back table, on the flyer, and praise the Lord. Jump into the Hebrews study, the last few chapters of it. So in my group, I gave a challenge with Hebrews 11, which is, often called the Hall of Faith, right? The hallmark of faith where we see all a bunch of different people in the Bible and their encounters with God and their stories of faith that we can learn from and that we can grow from. And so the assignment to my group was, and we're tomorrow, I think we're going to conclude, right, ladies? We're going to conclude. We're determined, but this will be our third week. Praise the Lord, because we've gone deep in it. And so it's just been a beautiful time of sharing. But you're like, well, what's the assignment? You're not telling us. Okay, the assignment was to read and ask the Holy Spirit to highlight one of the people of or accounts of faith and ask the Holy Spirit, why are you highlighting this to me? What's the revelation for my life in it? And so as we've been reading it, then whoever has something to share that the Holy Spirit shared with them, that's what we're sharing. Well, guess what? This message came out of that and what the Lord spoke to me. And I realized, wow, this is a message for fathers. I mean, God spoke to me. I'm obviously not a father. I'm a mother, but praise the Lord. I realized that it has application for fathers. So now you're wondering, well, what story is it? What did the Lord speak to you? He spoke to me at Hebrews 11:7, and we'll put it up here in a second. But just to introduce this concept, or introduce the person here, it's talking about Noah, and Noah was a man of faith. And he didn't do everything perfectly. But this one verse, when I sat with the Lord and meditated on it and asked the Holy Spirit, I just kept getting more things came out for me. And so Noah, and we're going to break this, we're going to camp out in this verse. Kind of the whole, most of the message. We'll refer to some other scriptures, but that's mainly what we're going to look at to see why was Noah commended for his faith? Because it says in the beginning of Hebrews 11 that these people were commended for their faith. Well, why? What did he do that pleased the heart of God, that moved the heart of God? And so we're going to unpack this. Okay, are you ready? Father God, speak to our hearts. We open our hearts wide to you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching us through your word. It is alive. It's active. And so we invite you, Holy Spirit. I invite you to speak to my heart, to continue to transform me by the power of your presence, by the power of your word. And we thank you for it, God. Let my words be not of me, but of you, God, of your heart, for the building up of people's lives, to pour into them what you have. And I thank you for ministering to each heart and life and bringing that transformation in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said?
Amen.
All right. So You can put that up there, Hebrews 11:7. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned by God, I'm going to stick to, I have the New King James Version here, and up here we have the ESV. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. All right, so let's unpack this. Let's take this apart. The first three words, by faith, Noah. By faith, Noah. And we could probably come back to this. I was tempted to do this at the end, that first, those first three verses. And, well, you know, we're going to be talking about Noah's faith throughout all of it. But that sets the cursor for us. Noah moved in faith through what he did, through his relationship with God, through seeking God. Now, what is faith? Hebrews 11:1 tells us what faith is, that it is the substance of things hoped for. It's something tangible, what we are hoping for, what we are desiring, what we are wanting, right? And it is the evidence of things not yet seen. This is a spiritual thing. We, by faith, we have faith, we operate in faith through our spirits. Our spirit connected to the Holy Spirit of God, right? And that's the currency of heaven. That's the mode of communication and operation with God. It's through faith. It's a spiritual thing. So it is being, there's another version that says being sure and certain, or having the assurance of things hoped for and the certainty of what is not yet seen. And you've seen Sister Tanya do her little demonstration of sure and certain, right? That's how we walk by faith, knowing what God speaks to us, what God speaks to our hearts. And when we have that full assurance, that full certainty, well, I can't see it. Like, for example, I can't see healing yet in my physical body. I'm just using an example. But I know by the word of God, I know what God's will is, and I know what I have in my spirit because I have everything accessible that God has made available to me, right? Amen? So therefore, I can walk sure and certain. And in this day for fathers, you know, we're going to talk a little bit in the context of families. So who is believing for unsaved family members, maybe your children or others, to come in to knowing Christ, knowing God, right? And so you maybe can't see that with your physical eyes, their salvation, their freedom, their healing, their restoration. Maybe you can't see it yet with their physical eyes. I mean, they're not yet sitting. Some have family members that we've prayed in, praise the Lord, here. But we want more, right? We want more. And so we can link our shields of faith to believe for that what our hearts see and what God would desire, because let me tell you, God desires that your family members would be sitting next to you in church, that they would be serving God, that they'd be set free and healed and delivered. And by faith, we can receive that. Like Noah, we can operate in this sure and certain faith of what I don't see with my physical eyes. But hey, when I'm connected to the power of the Holy Spirit, when I'm connected to the Holy Spirit, then I can see a lot more. I'm getting excited. You can see a lot more in the spiritual sense. Do you get what I'm saying? I don't see it yet here, but I can see by my spirit. I can see by faith what I am sure and certain for, what will be. It will be one day, and it'll manifest. My family members healed, whole, set free, you know, or you're healing, or whatever it is that you are applying faith to believe for. Okay, you guys are waking up. This is good. You can participate with me. Praise God. So Noah moved in faith all, you know, before, during, and after what he did, how he obeyed the Lord, and of course, with the building of the ark. And so I have rhetorical questions for you at the end of each little point section, but we're going to come back to this one because, just remind me, what was that first one? Because we'll come back to it as we continue to unpack this and set this up. So Hebrews 11:7, by faith, Noah, okay, what did he do? Well, there's a clause here, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. Okay, we were talking about things not seen, right? Things not that we don't see yet by our physical eyes. Well, in Noah's time, right, God said to him that it was going to rain, that he was going to bring flood waters over the earth and basically start over with human creation because the world had become corrupt and had become evil. And, you know, Noah could say, well, I haven't seen that. Yeah, you haven't seen rain. It had not rained on the earth yet. And, you know, we've been talking last week, Pastor Harley instructed, it was awesome, go back and listen to that message on the podcast or YouTube or our Facebook channel about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But, and he even said this, because I wrote it down, paper remembers better than I do sometimes, that Noah received this word of wisdom from God. This word of wisdom that there was going to be a flood of what God warned him divinely, right, of what things not yet seen, things that had not happened yet. He told him that's a word of wisdom. When God just drops something to you, maybe you're coming and going. Maybe you're singing in your shower and praising God. Maybe you're spending time, you know, intentionally seeking him. Maybe you're driving in your car and you just get a download. That is, in this case, a word of wisdom, something about the future. So how do you hear God's voice, right? This is what we're talking about. Noah, in order to be in faith and be warned of things that he had not yet seen, he had to have intimacy. He had to listen to God's voice. And this is such a key for us. How can I walk in faith if I don't know what God is saying to me and what he wants me to do? Well, here's one good thing. The word of God is, there's a whole bunch of words from him, but he will breathe life on it, bring revelation, his rhema word, so that then I can walk it out, right? And so we have to spend time hearing his voice, hanging out with God, being intimate with him. When there's so much else that vies for our attention, choose Jesus. Choose time with the Holy Spirit. It will not be a waste of time. He will build you up. He will speak to you. He will show you secret things. He will warn you. Don't you want to get a warning? I mean, if there's a flood coming that's going to wipe out all of creation, God, hello, we say, I'm a friend of God, where we sing the song, I am a friend of God. Are you spending time with him so that you can hear what the warning is, so that you can be prepared? You know, Jesus is coming back, right? Jesus is coming back. And so we better be in prayer. We better be in our intimate place, the secret place with him, so that we can get the warnings. We can hear, okay, this is what I need to do. It's not so that we're in fear. It's just the opposite. Like, be in peace. God's spoken to me, and then he showed me what to do to walk it out, to be prepared, right? And that's what we need to do. We need to hear God's voice. We need to be intimate. I mean, think that I believe that Noah was, or how did he know all this stuff, right? It wasn't coming from the wicked, evil people around him. It sure wasn't, because the Bible calls Noah, it says in Genesis, and you can read more in, you know, more details of the story in Genesis 6 and 7. Genesis 6:9 calls Noah a righteous man, that he was blameless among the people. of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. So that tells you right there about his intimacy. He was walking sure and certain. There it is. Walking sure and certain, sure and certain. He was walking faithfully with God. Spending time with him, I believe. Hearing his voice. Receiving that word of wisdom of things that the world had not yet seen. Friendship with God lets us in on the secrets of God, right? Things that other people aren't seeing, we can see. Like I said, when you're plugged into the power source and get the baptism of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, if you don't have it, get it before you leave here today, because you will be plugged in and it opens you up to a whole new realm, a realm of the Spirit, of seeing, of hearing, of tasting, of smelling, all the different senses. You know, we have five physical senses, but there is so much more in the realm of the Spirit. And when you're tapped into the Holy Spirit, he's going to give you secrets. He's going to give you information. When you're spending time with him, that's how you get it. You get the download by being his friend. You know, we said that it had never rained on the earth, but Noah was certain. He was not doubting what the Lord said to him, that, hey, the rains are going to come. The floods are going to come. So what warning are you hearing? What warning or information that you couldn't gather from your own logic or from your own senses or from what you currently see? What is it that God is doing? Because we could say there's a lot that I see in my family, right? Especially maybe, you know, among our saved and our unsaved family members. Oh, yeah, they're doing this and they're doing that. No, 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 no. That's not what I'm talking about. Behind what we see with our, five sense logic, sense logic. Does that make sense? Yeah. Does that make sense? Ha. Behind, you know, that kind of information that I can just gather looking and perceiving, there's a lot more. And God is always doing something behind the scenes. What is God doing behind the turbulence that you see in your family members' lives? What is God saying about that? Because God is always yes and amen, right? His promises are always good. He's always saying, he always thinks the best of us and his creation, your unsaved family members. He's got a hope and a plan and a future for them. So we can't be saying, just spouting out what we see, oh, they're just doing this and they're doing that and they're in the world. Yeah, of course they're in the world because they're in the world. And they don't know Jesus yet, right? And so we need to be tapped into what is God saying about my family members? What is he doing behind the scenes? Because God is, I think of the song, he's the way maker. He's the promise keeper. He's the light in the darkness. And even though I can't see it, he's there working, right? He's there working. And so every problem, every challenge, every obstacle, like in this context, we're talking about family, that you see with your family members, is God is on the stage. God is on the scene. But we need to, if we're tapped into the Holy Spirit, then we can be connected to that information. What is God saying? What is the truth of his word? What is his promise that is yes and amen for my family members? Even though this is what I'm seeing, even though, okay, this one struggles with whatever, XYZ, depression or something. What does God say? What does God say? We've got to spend time and get that. So I say this. This is sort of an exhortation message for the fathers, but for all of us, really. Fathers, what is God saying about your family, about you? Maybe you have young children or those listening on social media. Maybe your children are grown up and they're out of the house, but you still have influence. You are still their father, right? Even if they don't live in your house, you have authority. You have spiritual authority because of your DNA. God put you in that position. So what is God saying about your family? What are the promises that he wants to stir up in your heart that becomes so much stronger, what God's word says, that you walk sure and certain about that word than what you see with your physical eyes or what you hear them saying? Like, oh, I'm never going to believe in God. Oh, that stuff. Dad, mom, that's just crazy. Crazy stuff. No. What is God saying? Because this is what God's saying. That is the truth. That is the truth. And that's what we need to keep in our hearts, as I'm sure Noah did, right? Because the mockers came for Noah, right? Anyone ever deal with some mockers? Oh, well, just see what Noah did. He just kept going, didn't he? He just kept building. Where's my props? Okay, here's my props. You're just waiting for the moment. I got my archaic ones. This hammer, I don't know, I found this in our basement. This looks like Noah could have used something like this. I mean, it's like really, like, I don't know. My husband has stuff like this. But anyways, what was I saying that I... Like, what are you building with God? What does God want you to build? I'm jumping ahead in the message. But what tools has he placed in your hands? The mockers. That's what I was saying about the mockers. The mockers will come, right? And Noah had to be sure and certain. This is what God spoke. This is what God has said. That's fear of God. That's fear of the Lord, not fear of man. All right. Praise the Lord. So to finish that section about Noah being divinely warned about things not yet seen, what are you hearing from God about your family? Fathers first and the rest of us as well. And here's another question, because this is something that I believe that was that is highlighted, or we could highlight about Noah. Do you believe in God's promises even without the physical evidence? That's a challenging one sometimes, isn't it? But that's where the faith comes in. And so if you in regards to your family, if you are, you know, wavering a little bit, you're like, it's really hard to see that. Well, get sure and certain. Get that assurance of things hoped for and that certainty of things not yet seen. And how do you get that? Spend time with God and hear what he says. Hear what he says and get that word in your heart about your family members. And let that be your reality. Let that be the strongest thing that knocks down what the mockers say and how it physically seems in the present day. Because if you stand and you walk sure and certain and you reject the lies that try to pop up and say, nah, it's not, nah, nah, you know, all this stuff. Get your tool and bop it. Bop it on the head. I have tools. If you can't see me, if you're listening to the podcast, I have tools up here. An archaic hammer. Okay. So do you believe in God's promises without visible evidence? You can answer that for yourself. Praise the Lord. And if you don't, get back in the Word and get with the Holy Spirit. And when you have that, you have to maintain that. You have to keep that alive in your heart, because I tell you what, it's a jungle out there. And the devil will try to knock you off that position of being sure and certain. He hates God's children being sure and certain, clinging to God, not just clinging to God, but believing confidently and walking confidently in God's promises, in his word. He hates that, and he will try to get you out of that position of faith. But God. So next. So we have, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, this is the next part we're going to look at. He moved with godly fear. Godly fear. Fear of the Lord, we say. Well, gosh, that's just almost, talk about, maybe archaic isn't the word, but that's almost a concept that It shouldn't be, because if we, the people of church, you know, the church, ecclesia, the people of God, we should be setting the tone. We should be walking with fear of the Lord. But out there in the world, it's hard to see sometimes fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord doesn't mean, I'm scared of what God is, you know, he's going to knock me. No. Fear of the Lord is, King Jesus, I reverence you. You are God. You sent your son Jesus to die for me. I am who I am. You are King. And I bow my knee and I revere you. I honor you. I respect. It's that kind of godly fear. That's what fear of the Lord is. It says in Proverbs, did I write this down? Proverbs, yeah, there it is. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You want to be wise? Start walking in fear of the Lord, like Noah did. Listening to what God said, obeying and moving in the direction of what God says, instead of what all the mockers say, instead of what every, you know, the taunting voices around you say, instead of what even your own, you know, your own fears or insecurities or doubts, what they try to say. Walk according to what God says, and you will honor him in that obedience. That is how you can be wise, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is insight. My version says, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So understanding or insight. Fear of the Lord. Walk in fear of the Lord. I'd rather do the unpopular thing and obey God and walk in honoring God and walking in that godly fear than just please people and do, you know, dishonor God and disobey what God's told me because I want to be in the cool crowd and I want people to go, oh, wow, look, you know, and just to keep people happy. I want to follow God. And if we say that as a church, you know, as people, that we are disciples of Jesus, that means we're following Jesus, right? That's the first part of our definition. Well, if you're really following Jesus, then you're going to follow what he says to do. You're going to follow what the voice of God says to do, even when it's hard, even when people mock you, even when you feel like Noah and people are like, the rain, what's rain? The rain, we've never had that. And you're crazy. And he was righteous and he was preaching to them. He used that opportunity of what God spoke to him. You know, when he's hammering and doing his thing, building the ark, following and obeying in a sure and certain way what God had spoken, the mockers were like, what are you doing? You know, I imagine that. And he continued. He didn't stop. He didn't stop. And I like that. I like that about Noah. He finished the work. He finished what God asked him to do. So here's the question. Are you moving in godly fear? Do your actions honor and obey God? Praise the Lord. I remember when I think I've told this before, but when I had gone to Argentina to be a part of YWAM and to do their discipleship training school for 5 months in Argentina. And I went there, and at the end of the time, you know, all the students, the end of the school time of the 5 months of the theory phase and the practical phase, all the students start talking about, well, what are you doing after? What are you doing? Are you staying? Are you going back to your home country or your home church? What are you going to do? And I was the old Sarah, the Sarah that I once knew, had a hard time making decisions. And the devil liked to tell me that I didn't hear God's voice. But really, I knew, and I had a leader, God bless her. I was so mad. We were in the back of a seat of a taxi, and I was probably saying, I don't know what God's saying. And she looked right at me and she said, you know exactly what God's saying. You just don't want to do it, or something like that. She said, confronted, like, and it's masked with this confusion. Like, that's how I felt. I felt like it was just confusion, or I didn't know, but she like ripped it all off and said, you just really don't, you're just struggling with that. And so I tell you this because that time in my life when I came back at the end of the school, and it wasn't that God was like demanding or ordering that I go, but I knew that he was inviting me. I knew that that was God's best for me to go back and become staff and to work and serve in the mission, and that he wanted to do more, and he needed a little more time to do it than 5 months. And so, right, I stayed 7 years, and that's my joke that, you know, it took that long for him to polish a lot of things off of me and to prune me and all of that. But so I came back, and I was faced head on with my own insecurities, my own doubts, my own fears, plus my family's of, you're doing what? I had just graduated from college and gotten a degree, and, you know, money doesn't grow on trees. I heard all of it. And I was really excited about the things of God and all that I had received in that 5 month intense time with the Lord. And yes, I'm going back, and I would be like strong, but then all these arguments would come at me. And it was just a time that I really had to put a stake in the ground. And I was fighting that fear of man, of what everyone else thought would be smart or wise. And what was God saying to me? And I don't know, but I got on the airplane to go back and to just live. I got a one-way ticket, right? And I went with my belongings, and I got there, and I think I've told this story. I cried for like the first 3 days. I was just like a mess because I had my own insecurities and doubts and fears. And I had a disciple maker, and she said, get a good disciple maker, man. Get people that'll tell you the truth, that'll make you mad sometimes. Yes. Because you know what? We all need to just get rid of the anger and get rid of stuff. And we need people to look us in the eye and say, that's not right. Or you really do know. Or, you know, whatever. Or give you a little spanking. We all need that sometimes. Where's my hammer? Boop, bop on the head. This thing is like serious. This thing is serious. Siri, is he writing comments? Hi, honey. Miss you, honey. Happy Father's Day. Well, now I'm distracted. What was I saying? Oh, get a good disciple maker. Right. So this different person. She said, you know, like, I'm just sobbing and crying, and I have all these confusion, you know. And she said, for some reason, you got on that plane, and here you are. So you better go and get in agreement with God, and then you come back and talk to me. And I was like, okay. So I hid away and cried it all out and blah, blah, blah. And okay, I'm here, and so I'm going to get my heart into it, right? But we have to deal with that fear of man. What are other people saying, and what does God say, and how am I going to walk? And that's faith. That's why I said, you know, all the way through, before, during, and after the building of the ark, Noah was probably had some challenges in faith, but he chose the right thing. And what was written about him and why he was commended was for the faith that he exhibited. And so just know that when you're going to walk in faith, you're going to have to deal with your own insecurities, your own doubts and fears and unbelief. But you know what? All that, the devil is under our feet, right? And you're going to have to deal with the other, you know, the naysayers and the mockers. And you can just take the word of God and go, boop, God says this to me. No, don't hit people. Don't be, you know, that's probably not, you know, the Christian thing to do. But, you know, the word of God, and it was hard with my family. You know, it was really hard. Like, they didn't get it. They didn't get it, but praise the Lord. I just said, I'm going for Jesus, and that's what I'm doing. Praise God. All right. He moved with godly fear. So, do your actions honor and obey God? That's a question for you to ask. Let's move on. The next part. So he moved with godly fear. He prepared an ark for the saving of his household. I think this is my favorite phrase of the whole of that whole verse. He prepared an ark for the saving of his household. He was commissioned. God commissioned Noah to build something, to prepare something. What is God commissioning or preparing you? I'm jumping right ahead to the question. Fathers, what is he commissioning, God commissioning you to build in your families? Whether your children are young or they're, you know, teenagers or they're out of the house, what is, you still can build. You can still build with God for your family if your children aren't in your home. Build something with God. We have an opportunity, all of us, to build something with God and do it by faith. Do it by clinging to his voice and his word and intimacy with him, walking sure and certain. And he will tell you what to build. He told Noah to build an ark. And you can read all the, you know, the dimensions, the cubits. Look at my other archaic. I found this in our basement, too. I don't even know how this thing opens. Like, then my son was like, well, you need this one. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is like, you know, the cubits, make the door and the walls. And you can read in Genesis all about the dimensions. I mean, the intricacies and the details that God gave Noah. There we go. 2 points for anyone who can. Oh, there we go. Look at this thing. I mean, This was Noah's, okay? You guys are looking at a relic here. I mean, my husband likes vintage tools, apparently, and stuff, construction stuff. I mean, this is pretty cool, but it's interesting. What? I know, he's watching. He's probably watching my every move like, oh, my gosh, what are you doing with my vintage relic? Special thing. Okay, I'll just put it down. Look at that. I'm obeying. Okay, but praise God. Noah labored. Now, it's going to take work, right? It's not just going to, I mean, think about the ark. Has anyone been to see the relic of the ark in at the Ark Encounter in Kansas? Not Kansas. It's a K state. Kentucky, thank you. Yeah, different K state. Praise the Lord. That took some labor, right? Apparently, does it say it in the Bible? I think it took maybe, people think, about 120 years to build. Don't quote me on that. But it was labor. It was labor. It was work. It was hearing from God the directions and then moving in it, preparing it, doing it. I mean, a fastening, adjusting every nail that went in there. Boom, boom, right? I don't know what else I have in there. I just won't distract myself with all the cool tools. But Noah was commissioned to build an ark, which means an ark means a place of protection or security. It's a refuge. So dads, you as the priest of the family, God has commissioned you to lead the family and to build something. You have an opportunity to co-labor with Christ in building something into your children's lives. Give them something that is worth talking about, that is worth remembering, that is based on the solid rock, the Word of God, that long after you are gone, that your children will tell stories and they will remember that you have left a legacy because you built something with God. And your kids saw it, and your kids couldn't be a part of it. Let's build something. Noah did what he heard God say. Because a lot of us, we want protection, that ark, that safety, that place of refuge for our family. We want our unsaved family members to come to the Lord. We want them to know, and we start. What do? We grab our own tools and we start doing our own thing. And we build our own version of the ark that's different. Whew, God kind of spoke that to me when I was meditating on this. What are you building? Are you building God's ark, God's plan for your family? Or are you just moving out of desperation? Because I understand. I mean, there's things that you can see that I could see from my family and just go, I just got to do something. Okay, just hand me something. Hand me a scalpel, you know, hand me something. I'm just going to go and do it. But I'm not in faith. I'm probably in fear. And I'm just, it's like frantic urgency. And what's going to last? What's going to build the legacy? What's going to give honor to God first and foremost? It's what God has spoken for me to build, right? It's the ark, nail after nail, board after board, laboring, pushing the plow with the Lord, hearing what, getting his plans step by step, board by board, plank by plank. It's not going to happen perhaps overnight, but you can co-labor to build what God wants you to build for your family, for your context, if you're believing in something else. But let's do it, because let's be like Noah was a forerunner in his family. He was the one that went first. God saw him and declared that he was a righteous man among all the, you know, evil people, and that he faithfully walked with God. Let's be those ones that stand out to God, that I want to be known in the heart of God because of my faith. Oh, that one. Because it says in the Bible, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Will you please him? On the opposite side, you are pleasing to God when you are walking in faith, when you're walking in that sure and certain, I'm sure and certain, I'm going to build what he has for me to build, and I'm going to please the heart of God. I'm going to go first. You know, I'm going to go first for my family. I stopped saying years ago that I'm the only Christian in my family. I say, I'm first. I'm going to be the forerunner. I'm a Noah for my family. And you can be too, whether you're dad or you're not. It doesn't matter. What are you building? What are you preparing? What tools do you have in your hand, and what are you going to do with them? God, this is what I have. And this is my family, or this is my situation. The flood is coming, right? The end of the age is coming. Jesus is coming back. God, what do you want me to build? Because I want my family saved. I want them whole. I want them in heaven with me, God. So what do you want me to do? Because I don't want to move if it's not in faith with you. I don't want to step out in fear. I don't want to step out in urgency and frantic and all this chaos. I want to hear your voice. I want to be in peace, the shalom peace of God. And I want to use the tools and strike the hammer where you tell me to strike it, and put in one nail at a time, one plank, and build something that you want me to build. And it will last. And it will serve the purpose that you have. And it will be for the saving of my family. Because that was the rest of the verse, right? He, with godly fear, he prepared an ark for the saving of his household. You all want your household saved, right? Okay, let's move in holy fear, preparing, building what God would have us build, spending time with him, being intimate with the Father. Praise the Lord. So that's the rhetorical question. What will you prepare? What will you build for the salvation of your family as you partner with God? It requires us to walk by the Spirit, as I've already described. We walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh. We walk by the Spirit. God, it's your way. It's through your power. It's through faith. It's through your Spirit living inside of me that I can be in your shalom peace, and I can sit with you, and I can, verse by verse, line by line, I can get the instructions to build an ark. It's going to look different than Noah's ark, right? But build what he shows you to build. Each challenge at a time. You pass it when you obey and you walk in faith doing those things. Let him show you. Get a vision or a dream from God. Ask him for dreams. Ask him for a vision. What does it look like? Like God spoke to Abraham and told Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. But this was long before Isaac came, right? And Sarah was past childbearing years. It says Abraham's body was as good as dead. And God took him out and he showed him the stars, right? That was something visual. It was something tangible. God knows that we have five senses and that we need to see something sometimes. So ask him for that. Ask him for a dream. Before you lay your head on the pillow at night, dedicate your sleep, your dreams to him, and tell him to ask him to fill your dreams with what it looks like for the future, a vision, something that you can hang on to of your family. Praise the Lord, because that will help you. That will help you. You continue looking at that vision that God gives you, or the many visions, and this along with the scriptures. And that's what you see. That's what you declare. That's what you say. Praise God. You can partner with him with those things. All right. So then it says he prepared an ark for the saving of his household. The next section is by which he condemned the world. Let's talk about that. He condemned the world. Now, Noah's actions served as a condemnation of the world's unbelief and the evil that was going on, the disobedience, right? It was really God. It was really God that said, this is not good. This is not what I dreamt. This is not what the plan was. And it was God that did this. But Noah had to walk it out, didn't he? Because he could have stopped the whole thing and been disobedient and said, I'm not doing this. I'm not partnering with God in this, when all the mockers were mocking him. But he continued by faith. And so by doing that, by building the ark and following God's directions of getting his family inside and collecting all the animals, the two of every kind of animals, in doing that, his action served as that condemnation for the world, that they were in unbelief. And you know what? Condemnation was coming to them. Judgment was coming in the form of the flood. And can you imagine when all the waters are raging there and they're safe, Noah and his family, the righteous one, the one that was found righteous, they are safe in the ark, and the others, you know, scraping on the rocks and trying to... They missed it. They missed it. Right? His faith and obedience, Noah's faith, Noah's obedience in what God spoke to him, was such a great contrast to the evil in the world around him. And so it's like when the door of the ark was shut, that was like the final separation between the saved, the ones, Noah's family in the ark, and the condemned, the ones that were living the high life, right? That ended in eternal judgment, not knowing God. It shows us, I believe, this part shows us our role as believers to live truly as witnesses of the truth. Because is how you're living, is that showing the contrast from the world to your family? It may not be the popular thing, and they may tease you or they may mock you, but you know what? I am marking a line. I am not compromising. I am walking with God. I am walking with Christ, following Jesus. It's like John 3. Let's look at this scripture. John 3, 19 through 21. It says, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world. And men loved darkness rather than light, just like they did in the time of Noah, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Let's be like Noah, who served as a condemnation to the world because we choose to follow Jesus without compromise. And we walk forward in what God has for us, marking, hey, I'm in the light. The darkness can be all around me, and other people I hope they choose light, and I hope they see that there's something different and that they come. So that's the question. Are your actions, the way you're living, your lifestyle, a contrast to the world that will point your family, that will point your children to the light and truth of God? And sometimes it's just very small little things, because your children are watching no matter what age they are. Does dad tell the truth? Does dad go the extra mile when nobody's watching except his kids to do the right thing and mark the difference and say, no, we're going to do it this way because this is what this says. We're going to walk by truth. Praise the Lord. And it says, after that, it says, which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. What does it mean to become an heir of righteousness which is according to faith? Well, righteousness is received through faith, not works, right? Just like righteousness was credited to Abraham, like it talks about in Romans, because of his faith, because he believed God, it was credited. In other words, it was deposited like in your bank account. Oh, faith, God likes that. Yay, my child's walking in faith. I'm going to deposit, credit that to his account. And it comes out as righteousness. Praise the Lord. It's not through our works. It's not through what we do, but it's through faith. And of course, with Noah, he moved by faith, right? And it manifested out in works. You could see that. But it was by faith first that Noah moved. Praise the Lord. Is your faith credited to you as righteousness? That's the question. Let it be so. Let it be so. Remember this. God has, if you are in relationship with Christ and you have chosen him as your Lord and Savior, then God has a covenant with you. And he will remember. Your family members are part of the covenant. He has not forgotten. Now, your family members will have to all make a decision, each one. When they die and they will face judgment, they will face the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But if you as the forerunner like Noah, who says, I'm going to walk sure and certain, I'm going in faith, God has a covenant with you and he will not forget about your family members. He will give them ample opportunity. And because you guys are praying people, praying family members, praying fathers that are interceding and saying, God, do it. And you're going to build. You're picking up your tools and you're building exactly the instructions that God is giving you to what to build for your family so that the salvation build it. Like it says, Noah built an ark for the salvation of his family, for the saving of the family. Praise the Lord. Okay. I'm going to land the plane here. Matthew 7, 24 through 27. The Lord said, put this verse in there. This is about building your house on the rock. And this is for the men especially. It says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Meaning the whole house fell, the one that was built on the sand. Men of God, rise up and build. Build something valuable to the heart of God. Build your house on the rock. Build your household on the rock of Christ. Listen to his voice. Be intimate with him. Follow his instructions. Forget what the world is saying. Walk forward sure and certain like Noah did. And you will see, you know, metaphorically speaking, you will see that God wow, you have, through me and through my work and through my labor and through my prayers and through my love and through my tears for my family, you have built an ark for the saving of my family. And all the honor and the glory goes to God. So rise up, men of God, and build. Pick up your hammers, pick up your measuring sticks, measure the depth and the height and the width and the breadth of God's love for you, and rise up as the priest of your household and build. Build. And we're here to help you. The women can be the cheerleaders. Yay, yay, go, go, right? And we're interceding for you, and we're called to be the helpmates. And everyone else, because we're a church family here. And we say, yes, go, men of God. Yes. Go, build with Christ. Don't be afraid. Be courageous. Rise up. Praise the Lord. So on that note, I would like all the men, whether you're a father or not, you're going to be a spiritual father. You are a spiritual father. So all the men, come forward, please. I'm ending the message. Bless the people online while the men are coming, and we're going to pray for the fathers, pray for the men, if the team will come forward. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.